You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee Church, visit vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now here's this week's message.
Before I kind of dive in, I just want to remind you, has anyone been following the little Advent devotional that we emailed out? Anyone? Come on, church. You all get a big fat F. For failure. No, I'm kidding. No shame. No, but it's not too late. And so we've been including it in the announcements every week with a link to it. But I have a slide for it. So if you want to quick jot it down. So this is a friend of ours who's one of the founders of Sustainable Faith, which is the Vineyard's monastic expression. So he is kind of just diving into the contemplative lifestyle. And so we were talking about how this season can be so hectic, with parties and shopping and school functions and just so many things going on, that it's really important to find some way to slow down a little bit and just to meditate and reflect on Jesus entering our world, why we're celebrating Christmas. And so I really like these devotionals. So we're on the third one, but if you type in that same address, but you just put one, you'll get the first week. If you put in two, you'll get the second week. You put in three, and it goes along with the Advent series. So the first one was on hope, and then peace, and then this week's on joy. And actually, I didn't even look at it ahead of time. This is the truth. And yet it really follows what we're talking about today quite a bit, so which is really cool. So it gives you an audible thing you can listen to, some music, some things read to you. It gives you just some scriptures to meditate on. It gives you some questions to meditate on. So you can really do a little bit of it every day of the week. You can take 10 minutes or so, or take like a good hour, you know, on if you have just a little space you can carve out, however you want to do it. But I really recommend, if you aren't already doing some kind of Advent devotional meditation, this is a really good one. And then you just need that password to get in. So if you've missed them all together, you can go back and, like I said, just put in one, two, or three. So I'm going to go ahead and dive in. Today, if you were here, you heard Lena speak a little bit, read to us from Isaiah about joy, and she lit the joy, which is the Advent candle for joy. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And you know, I wonder if you've had any experience in your life that you could just describe as sheer joy. You know, it could have been like a moment, like just like an incredible moment. Maybe it was like a whole day, just like one of those idyllic days, maybe like a great day with some really close friends you haven't seen for a long time. Maybe it was just like an amazing time on vacation that you're just like this. I couldn't describe this as anything else but just a joy-filled day. Or maybe you had like one of those really profound, life-changing experiences of joy. Or maybe for you, it could have been just like, and when you think of the word joy, I'm wondering how you think of the word joy. I mean, do you think it's just like, oh, I'm in a really good mood? Or just one of those really fun times where you're like laughing so hard you can't stop, something's really funny, it's really fun. Maybe you think of being like lighthearted. And then if you think about joy, there's kind of different dimensions of joy, aren't there? There's like those really kind of lighthearted, like just joyful moments. And then there really can be those like deeper, more profound experiences of joy that really do change your life. I remember, I kind of actually love those moments when you're laughing so hard, you're crying. And it seems like it always happens when it's like really irreverent, when you're like not supposed to be laughing, like it's really inappropriate, you're in a place where you're not supposed to be laughing that hard. To me, that's the best. Like you're with someone and you just cannot stop laughing. And honestly, those don't happen for me very often. And I miss them. I miss those times because it is sort of like medicine to the soul. And I remember our first year we were, I had two stories in my mind. I'm gonna share a different one. I was teaching fifth grade many years ago in Columbus, and the fourth grade teacher next to us had written a song. He was kind of a drama guy, right? Like he had aspirations to like be in theater and that kind of thing, but he ended up a fourth grade teacher. And so he was asked to write this song that was kind of a school song that the fifth grade was gonna perform at some performance thing we had. And he had asked me with no musical ability, he just wanted me to rehearse it with the kids so they would learn their lines. So he gave me a copy of the lyrics, which I were to hand out to all the kids, and he gave me a tape where they could listen to the music, and I was just supposed to help them. And I kind of forgot, oh, I was supposed to do this, we need to rehearse. So I gather everyone together. I had not even looked at it one time before him. So I'm just starting to sing it along with them. And it felt like the song was, the words were so like dramatic, like it would have been written for like a big musical or like an episode of Glee, you know? And it was like this fifth grade song. And honestly, it just hit me as I started singing it. I could not stop laughing. And every line, I'm laughing harder and harder, like tears rolling down my face. I kept in a turn and like looking to the wall because I needed the kids to take it seriously. And of course, they're all fifth graders. So the more I'm laughing, the more they're laughing. I could not get it together. We kept restarting and restarting, but it was so cheesy. And I just was laughing so hard. And it was really fun in the moment. But then later, it was a bad thing because when we actually had to get up and rehearse from everyone, like the whole fifth grade, of course, my class immediately looks at me, and they're all giggling, and I'm like, no, no, we got to get it together, guys. So anyway, maybe you've had those moments that are just kind of light, right, where you can't pull it together. And then I think, like I said, we have those days that we just wish would never end, or we may have a season. I know I've had seasons where I'm not in any particular crisis, where our bills are paid up, and my kids are doing okay, and Dave and I are getting along. And I just kind of feel like a general contentment, like my world is okay for this season. And it's just kind of a season that I would describe a joy that's kind of birthed from gratitude, that everything's just kind of okay in my world right now. And then I've had those kind of profound moments of unspeakable joy. I think the first time I gave birth was one of those experiences for me. And I really didn't experience that until I actually gave birth. I didn't really enjoy being pregnant. I had a hard pregnancy, and as most of you have given birth, no labors, no fun. And so it was a hard process, but I remember the moment I actually gave birth and, you know, they laid Caleb up on me. I remember it my entire life changed in that moment. I mean, there was an experience of joy that I really couldn't really put to words. That was just incredible. This little human being that had grown inside of me and was out in the world now, and it was just an experience of unspeakable joy. And of course, I got to do that two more times, but I remember feeling transformed by that moment of joy. And Brené Brown, I've talked about her before, she's like a researcher and author. She describes joy as the most vulnerable emotion, which is kind of surprising to me, but she said when we experience those moments of like catch your breath, like I'm overwhelmed by how much joy I'm feeling right now, like that moment of giving birth, that they have this immediate fear of losing it. It touches something so deep in us that we immediately go to like this panic mode. And so we immediately start almost pushing it away because it almost is too much for us. And she kind of says the way to kind of stay in that is just to start experiencing gratitude, to start being thankful and just thanking God and for what's happening, and just to be in the moment and be thankful for it. And I think the reason that it does feel so vulnerable to us is because we were created to experience joy. I don't know if you know that, but you were actually created and designed and hardwired to experience joy. That's why we see children lean so easily into joy until we've had a chance to knock it out of them. But I think most of us, if we're honest, we wouldn't necessarily describe ourselves as joyful people most of the time. I think a lot of us kind of struggle with capturing the experience of joy and kind of holding it. Some of us may say it's very rare for me to feel joy, and I actually can't remember the last time I've experienced something I would describe as joy. And so I want to consider today that although these kind of really fun experiences of levity, when we're laughing super hard, we've had like a really great day with friends, or even those perfect days, or even those like really blessed seasons in our lives, although they're incredible gifts from God and we should be grateful for them, that we are invited to experience a deeper kind of joy that will actually begin to transform us internally and change us into different kinds of people. And it's a joy that transcends these fleeting moments of laughter and these idyllic days. And so today we're going to look at one of those joyful moments for a group of guys. And this is an experience of joy that I imagine changed them forever. And I want to take a look and to see if we can discover what is meant by the term joy in the Bible. When we read about joy in the Bible, What kind of joy are they talking about? Because I think it's something more than what we've just been talking about. I think it's something more. It's a joy that regardless of the season of life that we're in, whether we're in crisis or in peace, whether our bills are all lining up or not, no matter what's happening circumstantially around us, I think it's a joy that we can learn to lean into and hold on to in the ups and downs of life and the hardness of life. And so that's what we're going to focus on a little bit today. And we're going to end our time together as we have the last couple weeks with just kind of, I'm going to kind of walk you through a contemplative exercise so we can just kind of meditate on this a little bit and see if God has some more things to say to us about this. So let's pray and then we'll look at this story that these group of guys experienced together. So Jesus, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you chose to humble yourself and become vulnerable and enter into our broken world so that you could make things new again. And so today, Lord, we just offer this time back to you. We say you're the reason that we're here, that we love you and we bless you. And Lord, I just pray that you put power on this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to be looking at the story of the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, and we're going to be looking at it in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And if you don't have a Bible, you can also follow along on the screen. If you can see it, that sun is bright today, isn't it? I can, like, feel it on my head. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So here's the scene we've been talking about. God's just broken into our world, wrapped in humanity, as vulnerable baby born to two poor teenagers, literally in a stable. So this is the most significant event in human history. So in light of that, it makes sense to me that there would be an eruption from heaven, right? At the moment that this thing happens. It says in verse 9, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified." So I imagine this would have been something like, I don't know, like a lightning storm mixed with like a firework finale mixed with like the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Can you imagine? Like, if they're in complete darkness, there's no electricity, and there's this eruption from heaven. So of course, their reaction is going to be sheer terror, right? They would have nothing, seen anything like this, and we probably would have been terrified as well. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then the scene explodes even more because suddenly we don't really know how many. We just know a great company of heavenly hosts. So like tons of angels now fill the sky and start singing and start praising God and worshiping God. This must have been a life-changing moment in the lives of these shepherds. So they're singing, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And the really cool part of this heavenly eruption was who God chose to first make this announcement to. And we don't have a lot of experience in Milwaukee of shepherds, but they were a pretty ordinary, unseen, uneducated group of blue-collar workers. They were not a highly regarded people group. They were dirty and kind of nomadic, kind of wandering around. They held no positions of power. They were not honored in any way or respected. They were a people group that were typically overlooked and unimportant. They possibly were even disdained by some. And I'm wondering if you ever feel that way, if you ever feel kind of ordinary or kind of passed over or unseen or unimportant, unchosen. Ever feel like an outsider, which they would have often felt. They spent a lot of time in isolation. And it was this group that God chose to first receive the biggest announcement from heaven that would ever be made. It wasn't the people in power, the beautiful people. It was these guys, these ordinary, unimportant shepherds that God decided would first receive and then carry the greatest message on earth. And so I right out of the bat, is there any reason that God wouldn't choose you? And then how did they respond? It says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And then when they saw him, they spread the word concerning what they had found out was true. And all who heard it were amazed at what these shepherds were saying. So apparently, after they kind of recovered from their terror, their immediate response was to go and see. They didn't hesitate. They weren't like, I don't know if this is real. I don't know if this makes me a little uncomfortable. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this will mean for me. They didn't sit and like overprocess everything. They didn't dwell on it. They weren't afraid to step out their comfort zone. They said, let's go. Let's go. They were invited to participate in the greatest miracle of all times, and they did not hesitate. Then they can't contain their joy, so they start spreading the word around, and they start giving their joy away. That's their first response. And then they can't stay away, so they return full of joy, glorifying and praising God. So their next response was worship, was returning and worshiping. Why? Because they had participated in something divine. They partnered in the experience of heaven on earth. Not as bystanders, not just hearing about the cool story, but firsthand participants. And here's where I think we learn something about real joy. The kind of joy that we were created for. The kind of joy the apostles carried along with them that would cause them to praise God just after they've been beaten. See, we were created for eternity. We all carry the Garden of Eden deep inside of us. And we all long to return there, right? We all have this longing to return to perfect peace and perfect order and perfect joy. So it's appropriate that we would get discouraged and beat down when everything around us is pushing against that. And the reality that the Eden has been corrupted, and we feel that every day. We feel it in ourselves, and we feel it around ourselves. And it would be really appropriate that we'd be discouraged by that because we were not created for that. And so we know our experience in this world is not what it should be. But joy is still possible. Why? Because heaven broke in. When Jesus entered the scene, we began to glimpse Eden. The longing in us gets woken up, and then the hope of restoration, the taste of freedom, the process of healing begins. But we can only take hold of this joy, I believe, when we partner with heaven. What created transforming joy in the shepherds? I think I have a slide for this. They were seen. They were chosen. They were invited. And they participated. They were outsiders, ordinary people, uneducated, no special gifting, just your average Joe, blue-collar worker, and they were seen by God. And they were chosen to participate in the greatest miracle of all times. And then they were invited to partner with God, to become part of the process, and they chose to participate. They chose to step out of their comfort zone. They didn't stop and say, well, I'm not really educated for this. I don't know if I'm the right person for this. I'm not a very special person. No, they participated. See, the good news of God's kingdom breaking in through Jesus is that we can have the experience of being seen by the one who birthed us into existence. But not just seen, chosen to receive the greatest news of all times, and then invited, come and see, go and see, is this true? Is this real? Did God really do this? If God really became one of us and died to make all things new again, and then we are invited to participate, to partner with him in the process of restoring this earth back to Eden, back to what it was always meant to be for us. And it's here that I think we'll discover the true joy that's all that we deeply long for, that we were actually created for. And otherwise, we'll continue to long for it, we'll continue to ignore it, or we'll continue to just try to fill it in other ways. Until we discover by participating in the agenda of heaven. And it's by partnering with the work of the Holy Spirit in the daily grind of our lives that finding and holding joy in this broken world is possible. And then what is the fruit of this joy? It says the shepherds responded to the invitation to participate. They worshiped and they gave it away. So when you begin to tap into this true joy, your natural response is gratitude and worship to God. And then you naturally start to give it away. Sometimes you're not even aware of it. It's just spilling out of you. It's just contagious. It's you just starting to bless people as the joy fills you up and spills out of you. And so when you are tapping this kind of joy, you'll be drawn to participate in the agenda of heaven, to partner with the Holy Spirit. And I have found this true in my life, that some of my deepest experiences of joy was when I was invited to participate and partner with God to see heaven break in on earth, to see the kingdom being ushered in. And these experiences were often in the midst of struggle and hardship. My life wasn't necessarily going well. My bills weren't all lining up. My children weren't all doing great. Sometimes they were even in really painful times of my life. And I've just found, actually, the longer I follow Jesus, he tends to lead me into messier and more broken places. And so I began to experience what's wrong with the world more acutely. And yet, I also experience the joy more acutely, because I see, as the closer I get to the mess, the more I experience heaven breaking in the minutiae, in the details, in just the everydayness of my life. Not necessarily in these big, profound angels exploding into heaven moments, very small, subtle, simple moments. The key is having eyes to see it, because as we've talked about, God is at work all the time around us, and it's having the eyes to see it and pay attention to what he's doing. Just an example of this, I had a ton of examples rolling around in my head. I wasn't sure which one to share. Of what I mean by this, just having eyes to see it, you can just be going about your daily life. For example, before I started back to work as my daughter's teacher, I was getting her on the school bus in the morning. And one morning, the bus driver, I always chat with the bus driver when they pick up my daughter, and she was kind of not walking really well. I said, are you okay? And she had like an injury to her body. I think she'd slipped down her stairs, and she was just saying that her body was achy. And as she was saying it, I just felt this sense from the Holy Spirit, why don't you pray for her? And I'm like, that would be kind of weird. And she's got other kids to pick up, and I don't want to hold her up. Immediately went through the thing. And I think those things a lot, but sometimes I can tell when it's like a real impression from the Spirit. And this was one of those times it kind of lingered. So I didn't do it, and I went back in the house, and I just felt it in my gut. Like, oh, I think God, that was really God. And so I was in the house, and I looked out, and I saw her. She was still there. Like, she'd strapped Abigail in, and she was taking her time because she didn't feel good physically and she was walking back up. And I'm like, come on, Rebecca. So I went back out and I went up on the bus and I said, hey, can I just pray for you real quick? She's like, yeah. And so I just put my hand on her shoulder and I asked her if it was okay if I did that and just asked for God's Spirit to minister to her. And sometimes you can tell when the Holy Spirit's ministering to someone because they'll just sometimes cry or they might even get a little hot, like red or sweaty, or you can just kind of tell by how they're receiving it physically. And so she was crying and just really, I think, receiving something. And I didn't even know exactly what it was, but I could just tell she was receiving from God. So I stayed there for a while until I sensed like the time was up. And afterwards, she just said, oh, I just felt like this pressure on me that felt so good. I just felt like this presence on my body, and it just felt so good. And so I don't know if her body was healed and everything was perfect in her world, but she knew that God loved her and was meeting her in that moment. And that's just heaven breaking in your ordinary life. You know, you're just getting your kid on the bus, and heaven showed up. And the Holy Spirit invited you to partner with him and participate. And that moment filled me with joy. And it's those moments that you're in the midst of everything that's wrong with our world, and you get to partner with the creator of the universe to bring restoration and bring healing and bring renewal. And that, to me, taps into that deeper joy that we were created for. That joy that longs for Eden restored. That joy that says, something's not right, but I have Eden inside of me, and I'm going to put my hand to that whenever I have an opportunity. And that, I think, is the kind of joy that the apostles carried that enabled them to go through ups and downs and hardships, extreme hardships that most of us won't even see. And I think that's the kind of joy the shepherds carried, because I imagine there were people that said, you're crazy, whatever. I imagine their life was still hard after that. I imagine they still weren't honored or revered, or they still had to live hard lives, but they got to carry that joy with them that they had participated in ushering the kingdom into this world. And so the key is paying attention to the activity of God's Spirit in the daily minutiae of our lives. There are divine moments of heaven breaking in around us all the time, but we need to have eyes to see it. And so today we're going to move into this time of this sort of contemplative activity. And one of the reasons we do it is because it's honestly these moments in our private, quiet lives, when we practice these things, that we develop that lens to hear and receive the activity of the Spirit, so that when we're in our daily life at work and getting our kids on the bus and fixing dinner and all the stuff, that we can become more aware of the activity when there's more noise around us. And so we kind of practice it in our quiet spaces so we're more attuned to it in the less quiet spaces, if that makes sense. And so today we're gonna do something a little bit different. This is, rather than the last couple times I think we've used our imaginations to enter into a biblical scene, this is still using the story, but instead we're gonna do something called like a Lectio Divina, which is, it's like a sacred reading. And this is an old, old practice. It's actually Latin for divine reading. And the idea of it is to not read the scripture for the point of examining it and trying to say, what exactly was the author trying to say and who was he speaking to, like you're in a seminary class, but rather allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the scripture in some personal way. And so what we're going to do is I kind of walk you through it. The first reading, I just want you to, without any agenda, let it kind of wash over you and see if there's a word or phrase that's sort of highlighted for you, that the Holy Spirit kind of highlights. Sometimes we say shimmers for you. Just suddenly there's like a little moment in your spirit that word or phrase stands out in some way. And then I'm going to read it to you one more time. And the second time, I just want you to meditate on that word or phrase a little bit more. Kind of let it roll around in your head. Kind of chew on it a little bit and ask the Holy Spirit, do you have more for me? Is there more you want to say to me about this? And then the third time, I want you then to kind of enter into actual like a dialogue, like a prayer time. Ask God, what's your personal invitation for me, from this? What are you inviting me to? So God was inviting the shepherds to come and see. Is there something that God's inviting you to come and see? And then how is he inviting you to participate in restoring Eden? How might you respond? Okay? So I think we're going to turn the lights off, and I guess, do you guys like having the background music, or do you prefer silence? Hand up for if you like the background music. All right, Greg, you're on. All right, we'll have a little background music. And I'm actually going to read the same reading, but I'm actually going to read it from the Message version, which is just another version of the same scripture written by a different author. So it's a little unique, but it's basically the same story. And so remember, with the first reading, you're just kind of letting it wash over you, and just pay attention if anything's kind of highlighted. It may not even be a word or phrase. It may even be just a feeling. No pressure here. You just let the Holy Spirit do the work, okay? So if you want, you can go ahead and close your eyes. Might help you focus a little bit. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. So just spend a minute asking God, is there anything else you want to tell me about this? As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. So just spend a minute and ask God what his personal invitation to you is. How might he be inviting you to participate in restoring Eden? going to move into a time of worship. And during this time, I just want to mention, if you didn't feel like God was saying anything to you personally, don't worry. Like, he always has something to say to you. And if you're not sure, just during our time of worship, continue to talk to him about it, what he might have been putting his finger on. Sometimes it's just a feeling that we have. And just ask God to tell you more about that. And maybe when you get home, spend some more time meditating on that scripture and see if there's something more God wants to speak to you about that. I think it's in this particular scripture's in the devotion that I mentioned earlier. So during this time of worship, we're just going to spend some time singing. You can stay seated, you can stand, you can kneel, however you like to respond to God in just a time of worship. We also have an open communion table. If you're a follower of Jesus and you would like to take communion, you can receive the elements right there in the back where the angel is. There'll be somebody to serve you communion, and you can bring it back to your seat, or you can stand in the back and take the elements. And this is just a time to celebrate and remember Jesus on the night he was betrayed before he died. He broke bread with his disciples, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you eat of this, do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he poured out the cup, and he said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of this, do this in remembrance of me." And that's why we do this every Sunday, to remember and celebrate Jesus' sacrifice for us. We also receive our tithes and offerings in the black box in the back. Dave mentioned earlier, if you're visiting with us and would like to fill out a card and give us your email, you can slip that in the black box as well. And that's also where we receive our tithes and offerings. It's just an act of extended act of worship. And so during this time, like I said, you can come back and take communion. You can spend some time worshiping. We'd also just like to offer the opportunity for you to receive prayer from somebody. Sometimes it's just real power in praying with other people or receiving prayer from other people. And so if there was something that was kind of stirred up for you in that meditation that you feel like you just want to pray a little bit more about, or if you feel like you really struggle with this idea of tapping into that deeper experience of joy, of sort of partnering with God to usher in the kingdom, and sort of you have longed for just a deeper experience of intimacy, and this is something I skipped over in my notes, but part of the process of partnering with God to receive joy is the communion with God, the intimacy and connection that you get to experience in the process. And that's even a deeper place where the joy, where you experience the joy, is through the communion and the partnering. And so if either of those speak to you, you're kind of like, you know what, I don't really feel close to God. I can't really partner with him. I don't feel like I even really know him or experience intimacy with him. So if that's just something you'd like to pray about, like, I'd like to go a little deeper in my experience with God and then my experience of partnering with God, we'd love to pray for you today. There'll be several of us in the back that'd be happy to pray for you. So just spend some time responding to God however you feel led this morning.